Welcome inside DMV Football Roundtable. Frank Hanrahan with you. Jamal Bones is with us. I hope you're in a decent mood, my friend. You're a big time. let me just be quite open, honest, and transparent. I watched maybe a full 2 minutes of this football game. It's the point where I can recall not wanting to miss a game where you just felt like anxious, like, oh, I can't miss this game. I need to see it. So you would set that time aside. If you're not working, you know, you set that time aside back in the days. I actually went to the pumpkin patch with my family rather than go and watch this game. I saw 2 minutes of it. I couldn't believe they had a Hail Mary. Had to look on, you know, Twitter for that. The bottom line is this team's irrelevancy is continuing to dive deeper than I ever thought they would. And then to make matters worse, they have more off-field issues when in terms of there was this culture change when you have allegedly your head athletic trainer slanging on the side. And then you get another assistant athletic trainer who gets put on leave too. So something's not right there. It's going downhill again fast. And it doesn't look like there's any help in sight. And yet your head coach, the guy that was brought in to change everything, is just saying that we're all stupid. We don't know what we're talking about. Just give me your initial thoughts on the loss. And right now, what, if anything, can this team do to turn things around? Because they got Kansas City coming up on Sunday at home.
This is a lot to unpack.
Right.
It's a lot to unpack. I know the fan base is frustrated. I'm frustrated.
The fan base that is still there, which I give mad respect to, that you're still in it.
Look, we've seen worse. We've seen worse. I think some of my bigger issues, let's get to this first. You asked how to, what can he do to fix it? It's not a whole lot, but in terms of personnel, bring up Jeremy Reeves. I need more Curl. I need Curl and Reeves as your free safety and strong safety. I don't know what the hell Landon Collins is doing. I'm not sure. I will get back into that when we get to the Hail Mary play, which was very disturbing. But, you know, my question, I got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Or just in general.
Uh-huh.
How does... And I'll throw an analogy in there also. But how does this defense go from a top five, number two overall, I believe, at the end, ranked defense to 30th, which is probably going to drop. And the only silver lining this week, even though we're playing Kansas City, they're the only defense that's worse than us.
Wow. Right. I will answer that. I think that they probably thought their stuff didn't stink, and they thought they could just show up and good things would happen. I don't know. I think it's more of a preparation and approach standpoint than an actual talent standpoint.
Well, you know what? The talent standpoint, see, that's where I get more confused, and it's where it's more of a conundrum. Because, albeit, look at it on paper, you didn't really lose anybody.
No.
If anything, you supposedly added talent in William Jackson and Bobby McCain, and you drafted Jamin Davis. You get Ioannidis back. You get Landon Collins back for whatever that's worth right now. So you did that. I think that maybe it is a preparation thing. I don't know. But I also see that I don't know what Del Rio seems like. He's tinkering.
Mm-hmm.
This defense, this scheme seems very different. And I've come from a mindset of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So if you added on paper talent to this top five, number two defense, why are you straying away from what got you to this point? Because the biggest question coming into the season was not the defense. The question with the defense was, are they elite? The question now, before the season, was, can the offense match? Now, the offense over the first couple of games is averaging over 20 points a game. 28 in some cases. It's that hasn't, until this past game, that has not been the issue. And this offensive line, until this week, and when we get all these injuries, they have been probably the best unit on this team, quiet as it's kept. But with the defense, it's something Del Rio was doing. And I'm seeing Tuhill and Smith Williams. He's doing the Scott Brooks thing again. I've mentioned that before. And I don't know why you would be doing all of this rotation. The only rotation you really need is between Ioannidis and Settle. And if Collins can't play with all the money that you're paying him, move him to hybrid linebacker like a Deion Buchanan or Barrett that they usually have with the Rams. Do something like that. If not, then he need to tell his story walking.
Yeah. No, I don't know what's going on. I think there is a little bit of that. You know, we were great last year, ride our coattails. Let me get back to this. This is a little old school. And I, you know, Georgie Wallace covers a team for WTOP, and he goes out there and he and he's at practice. And even after a loss, they have music playing and they're not in pads. And I know you're going to get all being that old dude on the lawn or whatever, but there used to be a way to sort of exact better out of players. And that way is long gone, where you are being successful at something, you stick with it, to your point. But when you're not, you take stuff away, or you got to earn that back. And I don't get that sense that there's any of that. Hey, you got to earn that back this week. It's like, oh, we're okay. You know, the players pay attention to what the coaches say. And Coach Ron Rivera saying on Monday after the loss to the Saints, hey, guys, we're okay. We're just a few, two, three plays away, including a Hail Mary that's inexcusable at that level to be, you know, if I was a coach, I'd say, look, we can't have that happen ever again. Like, that's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed. Our players embarrassed. Coaches embarrassed. But if I'm the owner, if I had a rightful owner, a guy who could actually do something, I would consider firing Del Rio because of that simple play. Hey, remember what happened to the Green Bay Packers defensive coordinator last year? Remember they gave up that big play at the end of the half to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? What happened to him? What happened to him?
Gone.
They made the NFC Championship. That has to be set too. Like, we're not accepting anything other than success. And when we allow a play like that to happen, somebody has to be held accountable for it, and heads have to roll. But no, we're good. Everything's good. We're just a few plays away. We're fine. That's the kind of stuff I'd like to see change.
Yeah. You know, it's disappointing because we thought that that's what we got with Ron. When he got here, what was your problem? The ping pong table.
Yeah, they got rid of that. Right.
They got rid of it. As soon as he got here, the ping pong table was gone. And Frank was happier than a clam.
Yes. But you know, that's how it is.
And the music was gone and this. But now, I don't know what's happening now. So, you know, it was in Ron We Trust, but in like, I don't know what Ron is doing.
No.
But even more to the point, I don't know what Del Rio is doing. And I'm not sure what Turner is doing. There is something off about this team. And let's key in again. The most glaring thing is definitely the defense. And I would make this analogy. We both have children. If you have a child that was a straight A student.
Yeah.
And then the very next year, they are failing.
That's a good analogy.
You can point to something that has happened within that particular year.
Yeah.
That maybe one or two, maybe multiple things. This is why this is happening.
Yeah.
This is why they've gone from a 4.0 to a 1.7.
Right.
Unfortunately, this regime cannot pinpoint a damn thing.
No.
Nothing.
No. You're right.
When you go from this type of regression makes no sense. And I think it's the most, that's the most mind-boggling and frustrating thing about this is how far they have fallen off.
Right. Yeah.
Now it could be the interjection of new faces. But Bobby McCain was a captain in Miami. William Jackson was he's a high character guy. But you're not bringing in Albert Hainsworth of the world.
Right.
But again, I'll revert back to what I said before, that I don't know what, if you're going to take over to something, Del Rio, do it in the preseason, training camp. Don't do it now.
Right, right.
Because as successful as you were last year, I don't see why you would deviate too much. And as soon as you saw that you were deviating to a point that your defense was regressing, go back to the basics.
Right. No, I'm with you.
And it feels like they are so far removed. They're very delusional. Very delusional.
I was a little delusional on Taylor Heinicke. I thought he was probably the best.
Oh boy, we read each other, man. Best, I read about that too.
Best deal, contract wise, in the NFL, making peanuts compared to other starters. But he had the great line yesterday on after the game against the Saints. He said, "Hey, I had a pretty good day except for those two picks." I think he was serious.
Lord have mercy.
So, yeah, it doesn't look like he's the answer. He had a great game against Atlanta. He was fantastic against Atlanta. Got, bailed out by some porous Falcons defense and some good heads-up plays by your receivers. But you were right. He may not be the answer moving forward.
Yeah, no, I've been said that. Now, I'll say this so people won't think that I'm poo-pooing Heinicke. He's a gamer. Bar none, he's a gamer. He's got moxie, he's got cojones, he's got heart.
Yeah.
He has a ceiling, which he is at.
Mm-hmm.
And I will go back to our buddy Georgie, who has said this last season. There was a reason he was taking classes midseason. Mm-hmm. There was a reason that he called Scott Turner, not for a tryout, but for a coaching position.
Right.
He thought his days were gone.
How about that?
Now, we love a good story here, especially when it comes to the quarterback position, whether it be Doug Williams, Gus Frat. We love them. But we also, this fan base has delusions of grandeur when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. We see something and you think, now the Heinicke have want to put him in a Hall of Fame. No. Let's say, yes, he had some good games. Yes, he made plays that won some games. He's limited. And let's not look beyond that. Like Denny Green said, they all who we thought they are. They thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
He is who he is.
Yeah.
His ceiling is not as high as you think it is.
No.
He is not going to propel any further than what he is. Now, he's got a gunslinger mentality. Where's number four? But he is great value, Brett Favre.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Brett Favre got away with a lot of this. Why? Because he is a Hall of Fame talent quarterback. He also made a lot of bonehead plays.
Sure did.
Now they're starting to show with Heinicke, and he can't get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, he can. And I don't know what they're going to do now. If Fitzpatrick is healthy, I guess
you're waiting on Fitzy.
Yeah, you're waiting on him. Yeah, for
either
sure.
Either you're going to.
But the thing about it is that it's sort of unfair now to Heinicke because we are putting so much pressure on him to do like more than what you just said. We're expecting him to go over that ceiling because we thought the defense would be so good. So we just needed a serviceable quarterback. Well, and now we can't even have that.
They expected the same thing out of Kyle Allen last year when Smith went out.
Kyle Allen.
That's just what we do.
He must stink.
That's what we do.
He must stink.
We expect more than is probably what is realistically possible. But when we see something positive, we go over and beyond the damn rainbow. And he's going to take us to the promised land. No, let's take some of this with a grain of salt. Yes, they make good plays. Yes, he won some. He did make some great plays. But at the end of the day, he is not it.
He is not it. Yeah. And I want to get your thoughts on, at least he's got his own apparel line out and he's got a logo. Have you seen that?
Well, yeah.
Is that okay?
Make it pay. Make it paper where you can get it.
Yeah, get your bag or whatever they say.
Get the bag where you can get it. I don't know how long he's going to be in this position. Now, he might stay in the league
as a backup,
third stringer.
So what if,
who knows?
I don't think, what is it, like have a two-year deal, like 1 year's an option or something? What if, would you be okay with like a three-year, $12 million deal just to have him around?
I have no problem. I've said this before. To me, him and Allen, those are your backups. Mm-hmm. The starting quarterback franchise guy is not here. I don't know who that's going to be, but he's not in the building. He's not in uniform. He's not on the roster. Your bridge in Fitzmagic is hurt. So we'll see what Fitzmagic won't be here past this season. So it's going to be either one of those two guys. And they give you capable backups. If somebody, if the guy that you draft, or if you make a trade for, just say something crazy, like Rodgers or Wilson, whoever, you know, if you do something like that, whoever you bring in as quarterback, whether it's a vet or whether it's a rookie, you have those two guys as capable backups. Anything happens to them, you know that you can win the game or two with them.
Mm-hmm.
They're good in service. Right. They're not your franchise guy, but they can win some games for you. So to me, that's the way I've always seen them like that. I never saw Allen as a starter, a future starter. I never saw Heineke as a future starter. Fitzpatrick has always been a bridge. That's just
bridge.
What he is. Mm-hmm. You have a bridge and you have two very capable backups as long as Scott Turner is the offensive coordinator, which is another thing. Can we talk about this Hail Mary, Frank?
A complete indictment on breakdowns across so many boards. Like, I don't know where to start with that. But, you know, George texted me, he said, because, again, I was at the pumpkin patch, and he said, they just scored on a Hail Mary. And I thought he was joking. I was like, no, you're kidding, right? And then I saw the video on Twitter, and I said, that is the easiest Hail Mary I've ever seen in my life. Like, even if you got mixed up and said, we got to run back now and I know that. Run back, try to find the ball, jump, and bat it down. None of that happened.
They were back there, though.
They were.
They got back there. I think my biggest problem, and sometimes players need to know when to shut the hell up. I don't think Landon Collins should have said, oh, we were expecting a 15 and out and then set up for they quick snapped us. Mm-hmm. And they didn't. Now, you said we weren't ready for that. At which point during the play were you not ready? When you saw Jameis drop back and throw the ball about 50 yards in the air towards the end zone, were you not aware then? Or we are not aware when Callaway jumped in the air and the rest of y'all looked like you were looking at a lunar eclipse. When were you not aware?
That's what it is.
When were you not prepared?
It's the awareness, yes. It's all of it.
Now, the other problem I have you saw the video, right?
Yeah.
Okay, this is the only question I have. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this serious, but also in jest, but also serious. Is Landon Collins shaving points? Why would he push Kendall Fuller out of the way?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that part?
Yeah, I did.
You pushed him out of the way.
Right, that makes no sense.
And proceeded not to jump. Now, if you pushed him out of the way and you were ready to go head up with Callaway and contest it, I'm with you all the way. Mm-hmm. You pushed Kendall out of the way and continue just our gaze.
Mm-hmm.
Just daydream a bit. I don't understand any of that.
it's a fireable offense, but they had no, you know, they didn't, They didn't want it to do anything. And that's the thing where this franchise is so confused as to who they are, what they're doing, that they don't want to ruffle any feathers. And that includes doing the right thing and firing your defensive coordinator after an inexcusable play. Like, that should never happen. And it did. And nothing's going to come of it. Man, we're going to have music and we'll be in shells come Wednesday because we got to rest up for Kansas City.
But see, this is the thing. This is so – that's where it's not even – it gets beyond frustrating. It gets puzzling because this is so far of a departure of what this defense and team was last year. Mm-hmm. This team was grit, heart, fire, brimstone. We fight. Ron Strong, Rivera Strong.
Mm-hmm.
And
remember that?
Now I can tell if Joe Barry is calling the defense, Minuski, Haslett, I don't know, Jay Gruden's calling plays. This looks like the old teams.
Yes, it does.
This is not what we saw last year. Last year looked like a different team, a different mentality, a different quote-unquote culture, which they keep trying to sell us, which I bought into last year.
You sure did.
Wholeheartedly bought into it. But now this is looking like what I've seen for the last 10 plus years.
And think about this too. This athletic trainer deal is so underplayed.
Oh, man.
It's beyond underplayed. It's going to come out that this guy allegedly now, but this is what I'm thinking. Certainly he was somehow getting his hands on prescription drugs and then handing them off to people illegally. And you have a guy like this running your athletic trainer, the whole gamut, watching over players' health, and he's also slanging on the side, allegedly.
Well, you know what?
Reportedly.
What's worse?
Come on, man.
What's worse than that is,
and it's really just
Ron
sort of like
came
crickets.
Out and said the other day that he trusted this man
right,
while he was going
right,
through
right,
cancer
right.
with his chemo. He said, "I trusted him with my health." You might have want to wait on that one, brother. You might have want to wait on that one.
So you made a great point. It just seems like it's the old stuff all coming back together again.
Right.
And now they got to face Kansas City, who's they're in a spot where they're hungry and desperate, and this could get ugly fast.
The offense is hungry and desperate. And desperate. I told you, their defense is worse than ours.
Crazy.
Now, I don't know who we're going to have help. Unfortunately, this offensive line, who have been the stalwarts so far, they're taking hits.
Mm-hmm.
Scherf is out. I don't know what the status of Cosme and Lennon was going to be. Curtis Samuel, who knows? You still have Brown and Sims, Cam Sims out. You don't know what that's going to be. Mm-hmm. Turner bothers me because McKissick was a hero in Atlanta, right?
Right. Yes.
He had one carry.
What happened to him?
And one target.
Are you serious?
One carry and one target.
Wow.
This past weekend against New Orleans.
Jesus.
So what is that about?
Yeah. Seriously.
This team is topsy turvy. I don't understand. I don't get none of what's going on. So you know what? I know it's gonna be an offensive battle on one side, Mahomes side. what we do, I don't know.
Yeah.
We might lose 50-35. I don't know, because neither one of these defenses care to play.
No.
No. Especially the secondaries are horrific.
Horrific. Yeah. before we go, I gotta pick your brain about your Maryland Terrapins, because we had this conversation about don't get out in front of your skis. I think they did a little bit before they played the Iowa Hawkeyes, where they were concerns about not enough time to tailgate, which was just laughable. Like, just whatever, man. What's the big deal? Biggest game in 5 years and we can't tailgate. Well, again, the focus should be on, not that the players are focused on that, but there were some people that were in the know or rooted for Maryland that were complaining about that. But so they got blown out by Iowa. Iowa's very good, obviously. And then they get blown out by Ohio State. So it's almost like, oh, here we go back again to square one. Just when you think the Terps have turned the corner, big one against Minnesota in a couple weeks to really see where they are. But it's sort of like the old feeling of same old Terps again. Look good early and then they fade fast.
Well, I'm not going that far. I get the sentiment. I understand that. I'm not going that far for two reasons. Number one, well, three reasons. Number one is the Big Ten, and that is the gift and the curse of playing in the Big Ten. You get an opportunity every week to possibly knock off a ranked opponent. But the curse is you have to play a ranked opponent almost every week.
Yeah.
So you go into, they're 4-2 still.
Yeah.
They're still 4-2.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the 4-2. The West Virginia win looks better and better, but you play two top 10 teams back to back. One at home and one in the shoe. That's what happens. So you're still four and two. You're still two wins away for getting bowl eligible, but you have other opportunities. It don't sound great to have to play Penn State. It doesn't sound great to have to play Michigan State, but if you can catch one.
Yeah.
If you can catch one, it means something. And Minnesota also. Like, there are no, put it like this, right? I wish they were still in the ACC. You know how pretty they'd be sitting right down the ACC?
I agree. Should never have left.
Florida State, Clemson, everybody. Following
the money.
Wow. They would be sitting pretty in the ACC.
I know.
But they're going to have to put it together, because when we got to the Big Ten as a university, only one that took off running was Brenda Freeze and the Maryland team and then the women's team. They've been dominating day one.
Yeah.
It ain't looked back since. It took Turgeon's program some time to catch up and be able to have a stake and win the Big Ten and be up there with the Blue Bloods. Loxley is putting something together, but it's going to take a little while longer. Because those Blue Bloods are much better in football than they are in basketball. Especially right now.
All right, before
and even Michigan's down and Nebraska's down, and you still got Wisconsin in the mix.
Yeah.
So, you know, they got a ways to go.
Predictions for Sunday, Kansas City's in town. I'll say 45-21 Kansas City.
Yeah, I'm right there. I'm this close to going basketball scores. I'll be a little bit more modest. I'll say 35. I'll agree with your 21. 35-21.
So Kansas City cover. 35. I would take Kansas City up to like minus 10, and then I would lay off.
Yeah. I mean, they could very literally put up 55, but I'm gonna scale a little bit more on the restrained side.
All right, Jamal, I appreciate you, man. Enjoy your week, and we will talk soon. Thanks.
All right, brother. Appreciate you.
All right, man. DMV Football Roundtable for Jamal and Frank. We'll see you.